Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, we're thrilled to be welcoming back Cassie Everts to our show today. Cassie is a wife, mother, author, and speaker, and she's the mother to six little ones in heaven and six children here on earth. Her writing has appeared on Catholic Exchange, Blessed Is She, Relevant Radio, and she has a wonderful blog that you can connect with her at everydayanne.com. And today she's here to speak with us about the newest edition of her book, Nursery of Heaven. Did you ever think there was a nursery in heaven? Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents, and how those who are grieving will find, from child loss, will find comfort, meaning, and healing. Go out to our beautiful website. It's everydayanne.com. And we know we are grandparents to miscarried babies, and just the loss and the suffering of hearing our daughter-in-laws, our daughters, and we've had to journey with them via the phone, via face-to-face, going to cemeteries, burying some of them. And you know, just that journey, what it is and how painful it is. And it's kind of, when you're experiencing it, it is like kind of an out-of-body experience. Like, is this really happening? Yeah. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what the Word of God tells us. And when everyone hears the news of pregnancy, we're all so hopeful, we're all so excited. And then something could go wrong. It takes one thing chemically to go wrong for a woman to have a spontaneous miscarriage. One thing. And she will have a spontaneous miscarriage. And then the loss and the grieving and the misery and the heartache. And so Cassie's written a beautiful book to help you to say you're not alone. You don't have to isolate. There is healing, there is hope, there is purpose and meaning to all of your sadness and sorrow.
Well said. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Cassie Everts. She is one of the authors to a beautiful book called Nursery of Heaven. You could go out to her website. It's everydayanne.com. And that cover is absolutely beautiful. And just to gaze upon the cover brings you comfort. If you had pregnancy loss, if you've had a miscarriage, if you've had a stillborn baby, that image is comforting. And we also have the little bookmarks of it, and we pass those out at the Pregnancy Medical Center. But we want you briefly to tell our family the layout of the book, what exactly are they going to find in it, and then we have so many other things we have to talk about.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the book we go through stories of the saints, saints that have gone through a loss themselves as a couple, or have lost a sibling. And so we start with the saints, and then we have stories from modern day everyday couples who share just their sacred stories of their loss. We have a section of couples sharing about miscarriage, couples who have had a stillborn, and then those who have suffered the infant loss. Mm-hmm. So there's something in there, hopefully God willing, that no matter what the circumstance may be for that woman or couple, that they can connect to and relate to in those areas. And then we have a section for the grieving heart, and just going through different areas of how do you find healing, or what steps you take to help you on this grieving process. And then we have a section for family members or friends and loved ones, just simple things that you could do to help somebody find healing and to show them comfort and care. We have a section of prayers and resources, a few reflections. Mother Angelica has a beautiful reflection in there. We have some scripture, and then, yeah, resources. So when you go through the book, you know, you might be like, okay, now what? Like, this was wonderful, and I found, you know, connection or healing or could relate to this, but now where do I go and what do I do? And so there's so many beautiful ministries that a lot of us haven't heard of that we list in the back of the book that might aid continuing someone's journey in healing.
Well, you said that so beautifully, because grieving is linear, right? It's long, and you know, you might read the book and say, that was comforting and healing, but I need more. So where else do I go? What are my other touch points? And you have those resources available to say, there is more. And reading the book sometimes may begin just the beginning, right? At least you identified, you heard from the saints, so maybe you could, you have now a prayer partner in heaven. In the beginning of the book, you did a whole thing with all the names of the children of contributors to that book in memory of, and how beautiful that was. What are some of the other things that couples can do to heal? You talked about clinging, right?
And
to cling to each other, that's so important. But things that couples can do to heal and support each other. What are other things that can do, and also what can other family members do for that couple?
Yeah. I think it's important for couples to not be afraid to honor and remember their child in some way. And it might be difficult. It might seem hard to, you know, if you had an ultrasound picture to put that, to frame that and have that in your room or in your house, or a picture of your baby, or talking about this child that was lost at age appropriate level with your other children. Mm-hmm. There's that connection to make that. Because they are a part of your family. Not were, they are. You know, they live in heaven forever with God, and they're still a part of your family, just not here on earth. And so to really bring them alive, I think, into your house and with your family, remember, you know, the day of their passing or maybe your due date, to do something together, have flowers in the house, or do like a balloon release as a family, just some way to honor them. Obviously, if you're able to have a burial, to contact your priest, to have a blessing said, you know, the prayer of the commending the child to God.
And all that's in the book.
And all of that's in the book. And even the prayers.
The commending, the naming. That's great.
Correct. So, you know, if your pastor isn't familiar with it, you can show them, like, oh, here in this book, and it, you know, it's approved, you know, from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, right. The commending of the child. So you can, that's all in there. And then, so, yeah, honoring, remembering your child, I think, is very important. Speaking about them, praying, asking for their intercession. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this connection now that you have this baby in heaven that has imprinted with you and your husband's image forever before the throne of God. Mm-hmm. So they are your personal intercessor. Mm-hmm. And so to call upon them and ask for their prayer, to talk with them, you know, ask them to help you get through this. Seeking out community. I think one of the things that happens a lot that's easy to do is to isolate. Mm-hmm. And just not alone as the wife, but just the couple to isolate. But as uncomfortable as it may be, to seek out community, to find other couples that have gone through something similar. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have in the past, or they are right now, or maybe you hear of a couple going through something. Reach out to them, share your story, because in sharing our story, there is healing. And in, you know, presenting that to other people. And then that allows them the freedom. It like opens this door, this gateway that they feel permission to share their story as well. Mm-hmm. So finding community, taking time for yourself, I think is a very real thing. I think sometimes through the grief, we just think, you know, you said it's a process. It is. Mm-hmm. Like, we think it just has to be done. Mm-hmm. And I know I felt that sometimes through some of my miscarriages. Like, why can't I just pull myself up by my bootstraps and move on? Like, why am I still feeling this way? Mm-hmm. But to give yourself permission, and not guilt or shame that you're grieving still, but to give yourself permission to go through that process, to give yourself time. Mm-hmm. Seek out things that bring you joy. Like before your miscarriage, like what kind of things did you and your husband do together? What kind of things do you enjoy? What brings life to your soul? What brings you life? And not to feel guilty for doing those, you know, like planning maybe a getaway with you and your husband or something, or not feeling this guilt, like we shouldn't do this, we just miscarried a couple of weeks, but giving yourself permission to do those things that bring you life and joy. seeking out medical help, you know, sometimes that may be necessary, and not be afraid to either seek out medical help or maybe
a counseling,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And not to feel that guilt mm-hmm. in doing so, but just really knowing what you need and being honest with yourself, what you and your husband need at that time and that process.
Because self-care is very important. And chemically, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all that we are, as complicated as we can be as women. And that's the beauty and the celebration of us. But we need to, we had a woman on last week who was sharing, she was infertile, and her cross to bear was being infertile. And she talked about how she didn't go to gender reveal parties, or she didn't go to birthday parties or baptisms. Like, there's just a time, and it's not isolating, it is protecting, right? Where you gotta say, it's just not good for me right now to go. And it's not like you're not gonna go again. You gotta know when it's too much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that we do mention that in the book too, you know, to avoid, we call them like the triggers, the things mm-hmm. that could really kind of set you on a spiral when you're trying to find this healing and to go through the grieving process. And to, you know, if it is, you know, a baby shower or something that you're invited to, just be honest. Just, right. you know, I'm happy for you that mm-hmm. you're able to celebrate this child and this pregnancy, but I am not at that place mm-hmm. right now, and it's not, you know, healthy or okay for me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, knowing where you're at yeah. in the process and allowing yourself that time, mm-hmm. even time off of work. After my first miscarriage, I mm-hmm. took a week off of work just mm-hmm. to allow myself to be. I spent a lot of time just adoration in the Lord's mm-hmm. presence and allowing Him just to fill me with His love. Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about the adoration of the Lord. I find that I'm new to adoration, and it's just so meaningful, because for me, when I get before the Lord with various things with thinking about, I especially go to adoration in our pregnancy medical center, where we have girls deciding death and life for their child, and it's unbearable. To have people making that choice, but to go before the Lord with my own things. And what He says to me numerous times is, Jim, it's all over. Everything's done. I don't live within time and space. It's done. And so it's not done for me, you know, it's done for you, it's not done, but I just get the sense like it's finished and it's good. And I don't get that anyplace else except Eucharist adoration, when I move out of time and space. So we're thinking about our losses, we're thinking about a show, we're thinking about whatever. It's not like He fully explains that, but in the end is like, I have the last word, it's taken care of, it's finished. I think adoration is just so important to go to that place. It doesn't mean it doesn't allow us to still ask questions, go, but you know, the big voice, the final word is, I got it, I got them, I have everything. Mm-hmm. You find that there?
Yeah, and I think just allow yourself to be in that presence of God, you know? To allow yourself just to sit. We don't have to say anything. Mm. You know, I often, it's out of habit, we feel like we do. You know, like, Lord, this is what I'm going through, and don't you know? And He knows your heart. Mm-hmm. He knows your grief. He knows a child. He created that baby, you know? And so we feel like we have to be saying and doing, but we don't. Just to sit before the presence of the Almighty and allow Him to pour His love mm-hmm. into your heart.
Yeah.
And I do think too, what you said, you know, when He, you know, hearing God speak, just saying, you know, it's finished, He's got this. And it may be hard, like, okay, what do you mean you've got this? Like, I am fumbling and scrambling mm-hmm. and whatever my, you know, somebody's cross is right now, mm-hmm. like, I don't think I can carry this. I keep mm-hmm. falling and falling, this is too much. But I think in that, and it took me a while to feel this but it's, seeing that He's, you know, the resurrection mm-hmm. is the promise of new life, and He's conquered death, whatever that death may be, whether it is through a miscarriage or stillbirth or infant loss or some other tragic or suffering that we're experiencing in our life. Like, God has conquered that. Mm-hmm. And we may feel like we're at the cross right now and we're stuck at Good Friday, and one of our losses happened during Holy Week, and mm-hmm. the priest kept talking about after every Good Friday, there's Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. and after every cross, there's the hope of the resurrection, and death, there's new life. And I remember thinking, Lord, where? Mm-hmm. After how many miscarriages now, when will we see this new life and this resurrection? But that's the promise. Mm-hmm. And if we can hold on to that and know, okay, Lord, like, You somehow, through this suffering, this loss, Like, you're here, and your glory mm-hmm. will bring new life. Mm-hmm. And your glory will bring me hope and will see me through this.
Right.
And it doesn't end here. I will not stay standing at the foot of the cross, whether it's a week from now, a year, or decades from now. Somehow God will reveal his goodness mm-hmm. through that suffering that we had to go through. And it might be hard in that moment. And I know I didn't suffer easily and well and beautifully. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And mm-hmm. I don't think anybody does. Even the saints, you know, they're like, Lord, where are you in this? Mm-hmm. Where are you leading me? And that's okay to have that, but to know, like you said, it doesn't end here. Mm-hmm. It's not done. It isn't finished.
And the importance of the virtue of hope. Tell our family how, I mean, we could cry out that our hope would be restored. Lord, that I am going to believe you again. Tell our family the importance of hope.
Yeah, I think it's hope that sustains us. The hope of new life. The hope that we will see our children, you know, God willing, someday again. The hope that they're in heaven. The hope that they're with our Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to be stuck in the grief. You know, obviously it's a process, and to give yourself permission to go through it. I don't want to sound, you know, callous, but
right.
we don't have to feel like it ends. It ends here. We have the hope that our babies are with our Lord, and they're happy, mm-hmm. and they're hearing the angels sing and seeing his face. And we have that, you know, that intercession
right.
of them praying for us.
And they're waiting for you,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes. There's this reflection that I read years ago of this, you know, this woman having this dream of her babies and her entering eternal life. And, you know, as you know how it is when, at least at my house, my husband comes home from work, everyone's done with right. mom for the day, right?
right.
And so,
Dad's home!
And he's a fun dad, and we're done. But just to think of that excitement and elation that our babies will have when we get to heaven, like, mommy and daddy are home, they're finally home, mm-hmm. and to be reunited with them, and for them to have that same excitement that yeah. we will too someday,
yeah.
even more.
Right.
Cassie,
thank
you
God.
So much. We're so glad to have you back on, and to share all that you've shared, especially this last message of hope. So may God continue to bless this wonderful book, Nursery of Heaven by Sophia Press now, and may it be a standard that will bless many, many people and will equip God's priests and bishops to say, we're with you, we are accompanying you, we have resources for you, people that have walked through this, we would do a better job at accompanying people. Certainly you are doing that. God bless you. Father John Paul is going to be with us in just a few minutes. Go to everydayand.com. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we have Father John Paul with us today. Father, what did you think about all the beautiful things that Cassie was sharing?
Sure. Well, this year is the Jubilee Year of Hope, mm-hmm. Instituted by Pope Francis, who recently just passed away. And we have so much to be hopeful for in the world and through our faith. And as she was talking about hope, and in connection to grief, I think that's what the virtues do, especially the theological virtues. The virtue of hope is a participation in Christ's confidence in his Father. It's just kind of like a basic definition of
Give
hope.
Give that again, Father.
According to St. Thomas Aquinas, mm-hmm. hope is a participation in Christ's confidence,
wow.
Christ's confidence in his Father in heaven.
Wow.
So. From the cross, I was thinking about, like, from the cross, Christ is crying out, you know, Father, into thy hands, you know, I commend my spirit. You know, some of the greatest, most powerful words are spoken from the cross. Mm. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of women, spouses too, I don't want to just include women, but spouses who experience miscarriage and loss, there's a chapter that deals with this in the book, Things Not to Say, For instance, don't worry, you can have another child. You never say that, you know, to anyone. Maybe they won't. Yeah, maybe they won't have another child. So I think that she's probably had to, you know, take those words to heart, our Lord's words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people, they say things that they think are being helpful mm-hmm. to us, but really they're not that helpful. I think in those instances, we need to be like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not how they've hurt me. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's real.
Yeah.
And we need to cry out as a people, especially when we are suffering and going through all our trials and tribulations, as we do because we're human beings, that we cry out for hope. Lord, restore my hope, because sometimes our hope can get swept away, you know. Yeah. But we have to ask the Lord to restore our joy and restore our hope and give us new love.
But he said, I think this is what you said, sure. quoting some, we want to participate in Christ's hope in the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Not my
confidence.
Hope.
Well,
yeah,
I'd
right.
rather take Christ's
right.
hope than my hope.
Mm-hmm. Right. The anchor.
If I could
right.
do that,
yeah.
if we could do that,
yeah.
we're going to be okay. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, the symbol of the theological virtue has been an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're anchored in heaven. Mm-hmm. We live in reality. You know, Mother Angelica used to say that we need to live as, you know, we have 2 feet on the ground in reality to live in the present moment, but to live with our, you know, knowing what our homeland is in heaven.
Father, yeah. close us with a prayer and a blessing, please.
Sure. Family, we pray that your hope may be restored wherever you may be in your life, whatever the sadness that you've experienced in your life, the grief that you've experienced, may your hope be restored in Christ, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
So we pray today that all of us would participate in Christ's hope in the Father. That makes me feel so much better. So I'm thinking of my hope, what is it? Can I do that? No, I want Christ's hope. We need that grace and that hope. You can go to everydayann.com if you want to communicate with Cassie. Nursery of Heaven is available at ewtnrc.com. Strongly recommend you buy this book for whatever reasons you have, especially priests and bishops, those in the diocese. We need to help accompany our people that are going through this pregnancy loss area. Jesus said, come to me, all you who travail, you heavy laden, come to me and I'll refresh you. Take my yoke upon your neck, learn from me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly of heart, you'll find rest for your soul. Bye now.